So who's ready for the word tonight? Who's ready for the word tonight? Who wants to know why we have a canoe out here? And a kayak. I'm sorry, a kayak. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But tonight, we're starting, I won't call it a sermon. I'm going to call it just a singular message here. So somebody say, not today. Come on, somebody say, not today. So before we start, I need a very brave volunteer for me. A very brave volunteer for me. Give me Isaac. I'm not getting your phone for you either. All right, Isaac, I need you to go ahead and sit down in the canoe for me. So if tonight, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 28 for me. Acts chapter 28. Yeah, come on, somebody turn to your neighbor and say, not today. Somebody say, not today. So before we read this, I'm going to scooch you a little bit towards me here. Oh, man, you've been gaining some weight since you graduated, bro. It's not muscle either. What? I'm just joking with you. I'm just messing with you. I love Isaac. We can do this to each other. So, but before we're going to hop in Acts 1:8, I need to set up some background for you. So Isaac is going to be Paul for us. Somebody say, what's up, Paul? Come on, somebody say, what's up, Paul? So what you have to know tonight to get the background of what we are about to read is that Paul was going to go to Jerusalem, is that he felt, man, I need to go preach the gospel in Jerusalem. So Paul went to Jerusalem towards the book of Acts, and to make a long story short, Paul got imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Okay, Paul got imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And so during Jerusalem, when he was standing before the emperors and the rulers there, Paul claimed, listen, I'm a Roman citizen. I'm a Roman citizen. And back in those times, that meant that Paul had to be transported all the way back to Rome so that he could stand trial before Caesar. Okay, or before the emperor there. And so Paul's whole goal was, man, I'm going to get to Rome, get before one of the most important people in the world so that I can preach the gospel to them. Awesome, right? 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 And so how they traveled back in the day many times, obviously it was a lot by foot, a lot by animals, but they also traveled by boat. Somebody say boat. Is that they traveled by boat. And so in Acts 27, we find out, man, that that Acts is on his way to Rome, all the way from Jerusalem. And how many of you guys have ever been sailing before? How many of you guys have ever been sailing before? How many of you guys know that when you sail, there's just a slight breeze going on, right? There's just a slight breeze going on, right? It's nice. And going, but when we read the story, we find out that out of nowhere, that out of absolutely nowhere, that something called a northeaster comes and hits the boat. Something called a northeaster comes and hits the boat. Now tonight, if you don't know what a northeaster is, how many of you guys have ever heard of something called a typhoon? How many of you guys have something called a hurricane? All right, so you better hurry up, bro. You better hurry up, bro. This is the storm's coming. So if you don't know about northeasters, is that these things can get wind mileage sometimes over, like an average, they're 84 miles an hour. And I've heard of storms getting over 150 miles an hour, right? So how do you guys know, man, that he was at sea? So it means there was water, that there was water going on. It's that, man, it was intense. Is that the boat was rocking? Is that the boat was rocking? Is that, man, it was intense, baby. And so we find out. You'll never raise your hand for an example again, will you? Alex, are you happy that you didn't get picked? So the storm was so intense, man, that we find out that his boat shipwrecked. Oh, my goodness. His boat shipwrecked.
And so he has to swim to shore over there. Swim to shore. You can't walk on water. You got to swim to shore. Come on, you got to swim to shore. Come on, you got to swim. Come on, Isaac, we're all waiting. You're dying. You're drowning over here. You better swim to shore. Come on, just pass this. This is the shoreline. Just make it. Oh, my gosh. Paul and the whole crew made it to shore safely.
Eric, switch with me.
He can't switch with you, bro. And so we find out that when he gets here is that it is cold and it is rainy on shore. Somebody say, oh, Paul. Somebody say, oh, Paul. Somebody say, I'm so sorry, Paul. But, they landed on an island called Malta. And this island was inhabited by some of the kindest people that we read about in the Bible. Is that the Bible says is that they saw these guys shipwreck and they said is that we need to build these guys a fire. What? And so they get to shore and there is a fire on shore. Somebody give your hand clap for Paul there. And so we pick up the story. You're good, Paul. You can go and sit down. So we pick up the story in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says this. It says, once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. Somebody say Malta. Is that the people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. Somebody say, they built. Somebody say, they built a fire. Now, I love that the Bible says that they built a fire. You're like, Pastor Josh, why is it a big deal that they built a fire? And I believe that this is a big deal for us as a youth ministry, because I have watched over the last 2 to 3 months, man, that God start building in you a genuine fire for him. Man, I've seen it. Man, is that I'm getting texts from you guys saying, Pastor Josh, I can't be involved in what I was doing anymore. I've had people saying, man, Pastor Josh, I'm giving up my addictions so that I can spend more time reading my Bible and doing devotions. I've had people text me and say, Pastor Josh, I don't even want to get a job this summer, because if I get a job, that means I won't have as much time to spend doing my devotions and to spend time with God anymore. That's called a fire has started kindling, right? How many of you guys think, man, that God has started kindling a fire in you? I mean, it's like, you know, if not, we can pray for you at the end tonight, man. But I believe it, and I'm seeing it. And what I also love about this is that I love that we just got done with the series. Hello, my name is Revival. Once again, these shirts are on sale for $15 out in the lobby. Go and get yours tonight. We have a limited quantity, but anyways, that's besides the point, is that when I study revivals, is that there's a theme that every revival is characterized by fire. Hearing tonight, every revival is characterized by fire, is that, you know, I've done my history, I've read my books, and not once have I ever read, man, thousands of people are getting saved, it is so boring. Is that, man, the Spirit is moving and there's no expression at all. I haven't read that one time. What I have read is that revivalists, writing, journaling, going, man, today in service, in the middle of my message, God began breaking out. And people began shaking underneath the power of God. And I didn't know what it was. Is that, man, in the middle of my message, people began to cling to the legs of the benches on the floor and begin to cry out for God to save them, because they saw a hole in the ground open up and they saw hell beneath them. And they begin crying out for God to save their souls. It said every revival I've read about was characterized by fire. And so tonight, as we look at the story of Paul, and we look at the fire that God is building in us, man, that God is kindling, is that the right word? Kindling in us, there you go, kindling in us. I believe that there are some super important comparisons that we need to make to move forward. Does that sound all right to you guys tonight? Does that sound all right? Does that sound all right? Does that sound all right? A quiet church, is it? Come on, now, how many of you guys have ever built a fire before? How many of you guys have ever built a fire before? How many of you guys have never built a fire before? How many of you guys have ever been camping before? You know, I have brave souls who've gone camping in here. That's what I'm talking about. Some of y'all's parents raised y'all right. Now, I have spent a few times gone camping. I remember me and PQ and Pastor Kim and Bryce is that there was a few times where we just decided after work to take off for the weekend and to go camping. And if you know anything about Pastor Quentin, he loves cold weather. Like, he loves the cold period. Like, if you walked in his office and had a meeting, you had to have like at least three jackets on because it was legitimately freezing in his office. And so we would always go camping in cold weather. And so when we got there, is that our priority was to get enough fuel to start a fire, right? And so we would always leave after work, and we would always drive a few hours away. And so we would get to the camping site, or we would have to hike there, probably at like 11 or 12 o'clock at night. Real fun. And then we would spend like the next hour gathering as much wood as we could, because we knew that at one point during the night that the fire was going to die, and that somebody would have to wake up and put a log in the fire and then go back to sleep. All right, so I learned a valuable lesson, is that once a fire has started, if you want to keep it going, then you need to consistently add to the fire. If you're taking notes, write that down. Is that if you want to keep the fire going, then you need to consistently add to the fire. You know, I had a young man text me earlier today, and I was just so proud of him. You know, he texted me, he says, "Pastor Josh, I'm just so hungry to know God more. You know, today I'm fasting, and I've been in my word all day, and I just want to know God more. Do you have any advice for me?" And I said, "Bro, it's all wrapped up in two words. Two words. Consistency and time." Is that if you are consistent enough, over a certain period of time, you will have the relationship with God that you want. Because, man, we have too many roller coaster Christians. We have too many Christians, man, that are really good at getting hype. And then they take this big dive fall, and now they're at the bottom, and then they go up again. And it's like this up and down pattern. Man, 1 week they're in their word and they're going after God. Let's say 1 month, man, they're really going after God. The next month, it's like you don't know where God is at in their life. Man, are you even saved anymore? You know what I mean? And then God touches them. And then now they're back up top. And then something happens in life and then they go back down. Is that there's no consistency in their life. And so they're constantly like this, going up and down and up and down and up and down. And as youth pastors and the youth staff are please stop it, you know? And so, but hear me tonight, is that if you want to keep your fire going, then you need to consistently add to your fire. And so Paul knew this about a natural fire. And so we read in Acts 28, chapter 3, it says this, "As Paul gathered an armful of sticks," I wouldn't even worry about grabbing those sticks tonight. But Paul went and he was gathering sticks to feed to the fire. And it says, as he gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on a fire, a poisonous snake. Somebody say snake. Somebody say snake. Driven out by the heat and bit him on the hand. Now, I find this statement here absolutely incredible and absolutely deep. See, because just as Paul was about to put the fuel on his fire to keep his fire going, all of a sudden a snake jumped out and bit him and kept that fuel from going on the fire. Hear me tonight. See, you got to understand here is that in several instances when we read the Bible, is that snakes or serpents are used to either represent the devil or used to represent the work of the enemy in some form or fashion, right? I mean, we read Genesis, and the devil shows up to Adam and Eve as a what? right? As a snake, as a serpent, man. In Mark 16, right before Jesus leaves and he's giving the disciples, right, pretty much their calling in life, and he's saying, listen, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Go and preach the gospel. If you drink anything deadly, it will not harm you. Then he says this statement, he says, and you will trample on scorpions and serpents. It's a representation there of the work of the enemy. So realize tonight, please catch this, that just like snakes were trying to keep, just like the snake was trying to keep Paul from feeding his fire, is that the enemy will always try to keep you from feeding your fire. Hear me tonight, the enemy will always try to keep you from feeding your fire. You see, that's why it's so hard for you to read your Bible at home. That's why it's so hard for you to worship at home. It's because the enemy is trying to keep you from feeding your fire. You know, and so to me, right, I mean, the fire represents this moment that I've had with God that is life-altering, that is life-changing. I mean, like, God touched me, and I said, God, I'll never be the same again. My life is yours, Jesus. I'm following after you with everything that's inside of me, God. I'm not going back. Right? That's what the fire represents. But then have you ever noticed, man, that shortly after that moment happens, that all of a sudden it becomes like, it seems like it's impossible to live for God? Have you ever noticed that? Like, I was talking to a student yesterday, not yesterday, but a couple weeks ago, and he said, Pastor Josh, man, after youth camp, it's just so hard to live for God now. Like, it's harder than it was before. And this kid got rocked at camp. Absolutely rocked at camp. He was speechless the first night. He couldn't even talk. But see, is that the enemy knows, is that, listen, is that the enemy is not trying to just put water on your fire. He's not just trying to kick dirt in your fire, man, to make it stop. Is that the enemy knows that if he can keep you from feeding your fire, that eventually, one day, that fire is gonna go out. You see, the enemy's okay with your fire going as long as there's no fuel to add to it. Because a fire without fuel is not dangerous. Hear me tonight, a fire without fuel is not dangerous. But the enemy is scared of a Christian who knows how to read his Bible, of a Christian who knows, I mean, how to pray, of a Christian who knows how to worship on his own, who knows how to commune with God and knows how to feed his fire. Are you guys hearing me tonight? Is this making sense? Come on, is this making sense? So realize tonight that the enemy is in it for the long game. Is that he's okay if it takes a month for your fire to go out as long as you don't feed it. So tonight, I have a question for you. Number one is this, is that what are you feeding your fire? What are you feeding your fire? And so my next point tonight is simply this, is that I believe that the number one way that the enemy bites us, right? Because the snake bit Paul and caused him to drop his fuel. Is that I believe that the number one way that the enemy bites us, is that he tries to keep us from feeding our fire, is by getting us to give into temptation. Come on, somebody say temptation. Somebody say temptation. You know, is that the word temptation, it means this. It's an invitation to sin. Somebody say an invitation. Come on, somebody say an invitation. To sin. And the word sin there, it simply means to miss the mark. And when I mean sin, I don't mean like, oh, I accidentally missed. Is that, imagine that there were two targets. There was one target over here and one target over here. And God says, listen, here's the standard. Is that I want you to hit this target. Is I want you to go this direction. Is that I want you to do this. And you willfully disobey. And you say, all right, but I'm going to turn around and I'm going to willfully miss the mark and shoot at the other target that I want to hit. That's sin. Does that make sense? Now listen, I don't know about you. I do not know about you. But man, sometimes fighting temptation is hard, right? I mean, it's hard. Is that I can't tell you how many times that I failed. is I can't tell you how many times, man, that I've known the right way to go, that I've known the right thing to do, man, that I've known that I shouldn't have done it, or that I should have done something, but I willfully chose to turn and miss the mark because temptation drew me to turn and to shoot at the other target. Is that I cannot tell you guys how many times I've failed at this. Man, and dude, like, especially after, like, getting delivered from something, like you know what I mean? Like, man, I'm at youth camp, and God rocks me, and then I get back, and then, like, a week later, all of a sudden, this group of friends is trying to, all of a sudden, they want to be my best friend all of a sudden. They want to be my best friend all of a sudden, and, like, they hated me before camp. Right? She's like, yes, that is so true. Preach it. You know, or man, God comes and he delivers me from drugs. And then I go to school and then the next day there's somebody offering me something for free right there. And I'm like, ah, I want to live for Jesus. Ah. Like, what do? Right? Man, or maybe it's like God delivers me from like pornography or something like that, and I leave church and I'm so pumped up and like, man, like God set me free. I know God set me free, and I get home and I see something that I shouldn't see, and then now I'm caught in this this in-between thing. Sometimes it's hard to reject temptation. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen? See, tonight, this is a personal message for me because there have been so many moments in my life where I faced temptation and I failed. Is that, man, there have been some sins that have seemed like, man, I've just been stuck in this cycle. And like it keeps on going and going and going and going. Man, I remember is that I've been prayed for at the altar before. And I've boo-hooed at the altar before. And I've fallen out in the spirit before. And all that stuff is good. I'm not knocking it. But I just remember being like, yes, man, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And then going home. And then a week later, messing up again. In the same area that I was like, man, I thought I was free. I thought I was free. See, I realized that the problem is that it's not that I wasn't free, it's that I didn't know how to fight temptation. It's that I didn't know how to do spiritual warfare. So tonight, if it's okay with you, is that I want to equip you guys with how to fight temptation. Is that all right with you? Is that all right with you? Because listen, man, you know, I was asking the Lord, and I told the team this earlier, you know, God, what do you want to do tonight? Like, really, God, what do you want to do tonight? Are there any surprises? Are there any interruptions that you just want to give us tonight? And I felt like the Lord was like, man, tonight, I want to restore hope. Is that I want to restore hope. Is that, man, is that I want them to know that it's possible, man, that you can live a holy life. Man, that you can live a righteous life. Man, that you can live a victorious life. It is possible. Because I know what it's like to be stuck in that cycle, man, right? And it's like there's this side of me that I really want to love God, but then I mess up, and then I show up at church, and I have all this shame, guilt, and condemnation on my life, and it's like, man, now I get stuck in this cycle. And so tonight, I believe God wants to equip us with how to fight temptation, man, with how to say, not today. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, not today. Come on, say, not today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to James chapter 1, verse 13 for me. James is like the temptation guru, the temptation pro. So tonight we're going to learn from him. So it reads this. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Somebody say, uh-oh. Somebody say, uh-oh. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. Somebody say, uh-oh. Somebody say, uh-oh. Now listen, from this passage, I believe that there are four key things that we have to know about temptation, all right? And we're going to walk through this here fairly quickly. And so the first one is this. I love it. In verse 13, it says, when tempted. And you know what that tells me? Is that temptation will always be there. Come on, somebody. Temptation will always be there. Listen, so you have to learn how to fight it because you're going to be facing it for the rest of your life. All right, listen, like, isn't that such a comforting fact? Temptation will always be there. Like, don't you feel just encouraged by your youth pastor right now? Probably not, but that's all right. But listen, you got to understand, guys, is that temptation is ruthless, man. And it doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what family you come from. It doesn't care what church service you just got out of. Man, what camp you just came home from. What title is in front of your name. What kind of day you've had. In some way or some form, we are all faced with temptation. We are all. Even Jesus was faced with temptation. Even Jesus was. And not only that, not only are we all faced with it, but I would love to tell you that one day you'll get to this point in your walk with Jesus where like temptation will be no more, is that it will have like no effect on you. And you're just gonna be like, yo, I'm never gonna sin again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm super Christian. Like, Bible men actually existed. Come on, how many Bible men fans do I have in the room tonight? Yeah, Christian kids, holla. All right. If you don't know who Bible Man is, your homework is to go watch some Bible Man. Your life will be changed forever. Maybe not for the better. But guys, as much as I would love to tell you that one day temptation is going to all face away, it's not. It's not. Temptation will always be there. Now listen, does it get easier? Yes, it does. Is there victory over sin? Yes, there is. But in some form, in some fashion, you will always be tempted with something. So someone just pat your neighbor on the back and say, it's okay, it gets better. The second point is this, is that God never tempts anyone to sin. Is that God never tempts anyone to sin. Is that once again in verse 13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Listen, the Bible makes it clear that sin does not originate with God, nor the process of getting to that sin starts with God. Listen, in God there is no evil, there is no shadows of turning in him, there's no variations of God. Is that the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Okay, so get this. This is what this means. When that young man or that young lady shows up in your life, that looks real, real, real good. That you think, man, God sent them to me so that I could witness to them and I could get them saved. Oh, man, Jesus, yes, Lord, I will missionary date for your name, God, for your kingdom, Jesus. Listen, that person is not sent from God, all right? That is sent from the enemy. All right, that group of friends that you need to get rid of is not sent from God. They are sent from the enemy. All right, to put your fire out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number three is this. We're rolling through these fast. Is that temptation has a formula. How many of you guys love algebra? How many of you guys love algebra? Love algebra. Okay, listen. How many of you guys have ever heard of a formula that goes a little something like this? A plus B equals C. A plus B equals C. I don't care what you say. But listen. Focus. James tells us here, man, that every temptation, every time, follows the same pattern. Listen, every temptation, every time, it follows the same pattern. Man, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's lust, if it's envy, if it's greed, or if it's pride. Every time, it follows the same design. It has the same pattern. It has the same method. Is that every time, it's A plus B equals temptation. And we're going to talk about what A and B here is really quickly. But we're going to read verses 14 and 15. It says this, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after their desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So the first word I want you to notice here is the word entice. Somebody say entice. Now the word entice here, it's a fishing term that means to bait. Somebody say to bait. Now how many of you guys have ever been fishing before? How many of you guys know that if you don't have any bait when you go fishing, you're probably not going to catch anything, right? Right? Is that bait is a necessity? Is that you need some outside object to hook on to your lure, to lower it down so that the fish, so it will grab the fish's eye and they'll hook on to it. Okay, is that there has to be some kind of outside bait. And so the first one, the first part of the equation tonight is outside bait, is that temptation will always have an object to draw you in. Is that the enemy knows in order to get you to give in to temptation, he needs to bait you. Does that make sense? And so the bait is anything that lures or draws you in. Man, bait could be a person. Bait could be a group of friends. Bait could be an image you see out of nowhere. Bait could be an opportunity. It could be a situation that you find yourself in. Is that there's always bait. And as much as I would love to tell you that it's the bait's fault for your sin. You know, as much as the fish would love to say is that the reason why I bit the hook is because of the bait, is that that would be a lie. Is that the real reason why the fish bit the hook is because there was a desire to eat it. Right? There was a desire to eat the bait. And so temptation has this formula, is that there's always this outside bait, but there's also always this inward desire. Catch me tonight, is that there's always an outside bait, but there's also an inward desire. And when you mix those two with your will, it always ends up in sin. And sin always leads to death. So the formula for temptation is outside bait plus your inward desire equals temptation. And when temptation gives way to your will, it will always lead to sin. And here's the fourth thing. Here's the fourth thing, is that it is possible to resist temptation. Here's the good news. It is possible to resist temptation. Is that the Bible says in James chapter 4, 7, it says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist. Somebody say resist. Somebody say resist. Somebody say resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, it's possible to resist. It's possible to stare temptation in the face and say, not today. Not today. Not in my life. But how? But how, but how, but how? How do we resist? How do we get victory over temptation? Look in James chapter 1, verses 21 and verse 22. And we're going to go through this here. And I encourage you guys to go back and to really listen to this message so that you can really get what this is saying here. It says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has planted, the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourselves. So in essence, when Paul says, get rid of the filth and evil, he's saying, listen, stop giving in to temptation. Stop doing it. But how do we do it? It's so simple. By the word of God. By the word of God. Listen, is that how do we resist temptation? It's by the word of God. So you got to understand, is that Psalms 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. By obeying your word, is that I have tried hard to find you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Listen, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word hidden there, it means to treasure, and it means to store up. It means to treasure, and it means to store up. See, so how do we resist temptation? I mean, how do we keep our lives pure, unmixed from this world? Is that we got to store up the word in our hearts. We got to store up the word in our hearts because, listen, when that outward bait hooks us, and that inward lust and that inward desire begins to kick in. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about, man. Like it hits you out of nowhere, bro. Out of nowhere. And it happens fast and this stuff starts to kick in. You got to intercept in the middle of that equation what the word of God says. You got to intercept in the middle of the equation. No, 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 devil, the word of God says this. No, myself, the word of God says this. Listen, one of my favorite portions of scripture is in Luke 4, is that what does this practically look like? Is that Here's Jesus, right? Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, for 40 days, no food for 40 days. And the enemy shows up to him and offers him three temptations that you and I would immediately fall at, that you and I would immediately take. But what I love about this is that every time, do you know how Jesus faces the temptation and resists it? He says, it is written. He says, it is written. It is written. Listen, I believe Jesus was not only saying that to let the devil know it is written, but he was saying that to let himself know it is written. It is written. You see, sometimes you got to quote the word to yourself for yourself. Because you got to put yourself in check at times. Is that when that desire begins to kick, man, and that lust kicks in, man, and you really want that object, and you really want to give in to temptation, is that what Jesus did is when he said it was written, is that not only was he saying, no, devil, he was saying, not today, self. Not today, inward desire. Not today, inward desire. Is that Jesus had to put himself in check. And you and I, we have to put ourselves in check. So you got to store up the word of God in your heart. And listen, this thing will not get in you if you don't read it at home. This thing will not get in you if you don't study it at home. Listen, if you're relying on the word that you get on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, forget it. You're done. You're done. You have no ground with the enemy. You know, the Bible says this, I know I'm running long here, but the Bible says this. It says that it was Jesus' custom to study the word of God. Is that Jesus knew at 12 years old, he knew the word of God better than scholars did of his day. He knew the word better than 56-year-old men who had been studying the word their whole lives. Is that how well do you know this book? Come on, how well do you know this book? Because if you want to live a victorious life, if you want to be everything that God has called you to be, then this right here is your lifeline. And then you got to know it is written. So tonight, here's my challenge for you, is that you know what you struggle with. Come on, you know the things that you give into again and again and again and again. Is that I want you to go and I want you to find scripture. Find 10, 15 scriptures. And I want you to write them down on your phone. And you can even copy and paste them from Google. That's fine. Copy and paste from Google. And when you're faced with that temptation, do you know what you do? Man, you pull that scripture out and you say, no self, no devil, it is written. Did you know, man, listen, I have that on my phone right now. Is that there are moments where I struggle with purity. And so you know what? I have about 30 verses on my phone. It says Bible verses on purity. And man, when I'm struggling, when I want to give in to temptation, when I want to look at things I know that I shouldn't look at, you know what I do? Man, I bust out my phone and I say, no self, it is written. No self, it is written. No devil, it is written. Is that it says in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says to flee youthful lust, but to pursue righteousness, love, and peace. No. It says in Job that I've made a covenant with my eyes. No, man. It says in Psalm that, man, only he who has clean hands and a pure heart can ascend to the Lord. No, it says in Matthew 5 that only he who has a pure heart can see God. Come on, you got to learn to say to yourself, it is written. Listen, a victorious life is possible. Listen, it takes work to maintain your fire. It takes work to maintain your fire. I can't maintain your fire for you. I can't maintain it for you. I would love to. I would love to, but I can't do it. It's not my job. It's your job. It's your job. So listen, you got to learn how to study the scripture for yourself. Listen, go and Google, real practical. You want to know how I got all those verses? I went in Google and I typed in Bible verses on purity. That's all I did, and I copy and pasted. Ooh, I like this one. Ooh, I like that one. That one sounds pretty. And I copy and pasted. And it's been a lifeline. And I've gotten victory. And you can get victory too. All right, so with every head down and every eye closed. You know, tonight I can't let you leave without asking where your heart is with Jesus. without asking where your heart is with Jesus. See, tonight realizes that God desires a relationship with you. Is that, man, God is passionate about a relationship with you tonight. Is that God just doesn't want you to follow a bunch of rules. God just doesn't want you to follow a bunch of regulations. Is that, listen, that's not what this thing called Christianity is about. This thing called Christianity is about you being in this amazing, passionate relationship with God because he loves you and he adores you. See, but here's the thing, is that the Bible says that you and I, is that we were born separated from God because of this thing called sin, because of this thing that we talked about tonight, is that this sin, it came with a penalty called death. And that death was eternal separation from God. And so all of us were born separated from God. But God wasn't going to have it that way, man. God wasn't going to let it stay that way. So God sent his only son, Jesus, to come and to pay the price for our sin. Is that Jesus died on the cross, and when Jesus was on that cross, he took the sins of humanity on him, and so that he could reconcile us, so that he could bring us back into relationship with him. And Jesus, 3 days later, after he died, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And he said these powerful words. He says, if anyone believes in me, man, if anyone puts their trust in me, if anyone will surrender their life to me, is that he will be saved. See, tonight, in order to be saved, you have to realize two things. Is that you have to recognize that, one, that you're a sinner. I mean, that you're in need of a Savior in this place. And two, you have to recognize that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Is that through his sacrifice on the cross. So tonight, if that's you, and you've never recognized those two things before, is that you've never publicly declared, man, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of Jesus and I want a relationship with God. Or maybe you've prayed the prayer before 1,000 times, but tonight you want to truly get right with God because you know that you're not right with God. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Is it anybody in this place? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anybody else in this place? 10 more seconds. Come on, tonight you say, I'm giving my life over to Jesus. I'm giving my life over to Jesus. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. 10 more seconds. Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Come on, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Thank you, I see your hand. Come on, is there anybody else tonight? All right, man, if y'all could just stand up for me tonight. If y'all could just stand up before we let out. Is that I just want all of us with our eyes closed to pray this prayer. Now, tonight, if you raise this hand, I want you to recognize that this is more than just a prayer. You know, when I got married to my wife, we exchanged words, we exchanged vows, and at the end of those vows, we said the words, I do. And those weren't just words, but that was a commitment to loving each other for the rest of our lives. This prayer is not just words, but it's a commitment to loving God. It's a surrendering of your life over to him for the rest of your life. I want everyone to pray this. I want you to say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I believe that Jesus is your son and that he rose from the dead by your power on the third day. And so right now, I declare that I need the blood of Jesus to wash me clean. God, I confess Jesus as the Lord, as the master of my life. I give control to Jesus forever. And I repent of all of my sins. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. That's awesome. Is that all y'all got? Like a bunch of people just got saved. Come on. Now listen, before you guys leave, I just want everyone to raise their hands for me in the air. I just want to pray for you guys and bless you guys. Father, I thank you for this amazing group of Jesus lovers in this house, God. Father, I thank you, God, that God, that we have been equipped, God, with, God, information, God, on how to, God, fight temptation, God. And man, God, how real it is being back in school, Jesus. Oh my goodness, it's so real, God. So Father, I just thank you for your strength, because God, something I didn't mention tonight is that we can't fight temptation in our own strength, but God, we need your strength to fight temptation, is that we need you. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are empowering us, God, to fight temptation, God, because our will fail, God, but your will not, Jesus. So Father, I thank you for your strength, God. I thank you for your empowerment, God. I thank you for your grace, God, that teaches us to say no to all ungodliness, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you and bless you, and in Jesus' name, everyone said amen, amen, amen. Come back next week. We're starting a brand new series. It is going to be totally lit. You guys don't want to miss it. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Go buy a shirt on your way out, and don't forget, we got house parties this Friday.